Hey, what's up? I'm Will, and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. Amen. So, just to start, I mean, if anybody's new, and if this is, like, anybody's first meeting, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not in charge. I'm not the president. I don't know more than anybody else here in this room or in this meeting, but what I do know is what I've been through and stuff that have happened within my own personal experiences and such like that. You know, I spoke at this meeting last year, and it has definitely been one hell of a year. I can tell you that much. You know, I guess I'll start with what happened. I mean, I was born in New York City, and I will rep that until the day that I die. Yeah, man, I mean, I didn't grow up in a family where I got what I wanted, but for the most part, I got what I needed. You know, it was like a wooden spoon family. Not silver spoon, it's all good. So there's that, you know. I mean, growing up, I always felt different in some way, shape, or form. You know, me thinking now, I mean, it obviously just instills in me that this is a problem that is a problem with me. Like, I'm the issue. I have the mental, you know, stuff going on that, you know, I'm an alcoholic. The alcohol is just a symptom and a way to act out. I am a real sick fuck, I'm going to tell you right now. And that's okay, man, you know. And, like, growing up, like, you know, pretty much, it's like, I don't know what else to say other than I really did feel like I was completely separated and different from everybody. I was very angry, always. I was very upset. I was sad. I felt like I was, you know, different from everybody. A lot of the time I, like, you know, felt like I didn't have friends, and I spent all of my life noticing who I wasn't friends with rather than the people who I am friends with. And I had kids on my block that I grew up with that I was friends with and that I was friends with until about 2-3 years ago when I started to realize that going to jail and, like, having weapons and guns wasn't cool. Because it's not, you know? I used to walk around, like, you know, like, this room and, like, you know, like, years ago and, like, kind of recently I, like, slip up on this. I mean, like, a lot of the negative shit that goes down in, like, an unsober lifestyle is not really something that is kind of awesome to represent. I mean, you know, like, to be quite honest with you, like, a lot of the things that I've done, like, a lot of the stuff on my fifth step and the stuff that I'm currently making amends on my ninth is, to be quite honest with you, it's quite shameful. Really. I don't regret my past, nor do I wish to shut the door on it, but at the same time, sometimes I really wish that I could. And that's all right, you know, and that's just the wreckage of my past, and I have to deal with some of the shit that I've done in sobriety and in my using still with today, and that's fine, because I am my own worst enemy. I fuck up because I'm a human. I'm not perfect, you know, and that's something that I really need to accept and that this program has given me the opportunity to accept. You know, the first time I drank, it was pretty much just that generic moment of, holy shit, I'm in a room, people are doing stuff, I'm with people, and I get this feeling, and I feel included. And all of those voices in my head that say, you're not good enough, nobody likes you, you suck, you're mad short, no one likes you. Like, you know, all of that shit went away, man. And I specifically remember turning and I told one of my closest friends at the time, who is just not a close friend at all, you know, dude, I'm going to do this every day for the rest of my life. And pretty much from that point on, that's what I set out to do. You know, and I had a very generic progression until, you know, what I've noticed in the progression of using, it's pretty much most people after a certain point kind of just stop and stagnate and are able to, like, you know, go to college, get jobs, get a girlfriend, get a career, get married, have kids, and die in the ground. You know, and, like, that's just, you know, some people can do that and drink throughout all of it. They give up smoking weed after college, during college, or even after high school. And I don't get that shit because that's not who I was. I went from drinking to smoking weed to, like, and then, like, did the whole generic, like, mushrooms, acid, LSD, PCP, you know, and, like, so on and so forth. I never shot dope because needles scared the shit out of me. I'm gonna be real with you. And that's just what it was, you know? And all of that really doesn't matter. I mean, like, I could say that, you know, like, one of my closest friends drank for, like, a year, and he's just as crazy as I am. He has just as sick as this disease that I am. I don't have to earn my seat in these rooms. I don't have to sit here and prove to people, like, I belong here. Look at how crazy I am. That shit does not even matter, man. And, you know, that took me a really long time to fucking come to terms with, you know. The progression, you know, pretty much spiraled out of control. My life completely, you know, diminished before my eyes when I was very young. I was left to my own devices. My brain, my thinking, and my problems with my own self got me into places that were quite shitty, and it was fucked up because it was nobody else's fault except me. And I always sit down and I say to myself, well, you know, given the circumstances of this, given the circumstances of that, and like, you know, everybody else is crazy except for me, I'm the only person who really knows what's going on type mentality. That's just such, it's like an alcoholic delusion. It's like, I would sit on a park bench, like, paralyzed and, like, covered in urine, like, watching people go to work and then be like, oh, like, you guys don't know what you're doing. Like, it's such crap. I mean, like, they're going to work and I'm like, I got it all figured out. Look at me. I'm chilling. When I'm not chilling, I'm actually just, like, I'm sitting in shit. Like, this isn't all right. And, you know, I fought that mentality to the death. I fought that mentality until I had, like, 3 years sober. I was so deep in like the life of like you know what I'm saying, like I don't even know how to describe it. I'm gonna just call it being a jackass, because that's what it is, you know. I mean, like, dude, like, I would shoplift like Beats headphones, but like a year sober, I did a lot of scum shit. And you know, it was because simply I would think that just because I go to these meetings and I sit down and I listen and I have a sponsor that I call and I say all this shit and I play the game and I make all of you think I'm doing well, and just because all of you think I'm doing well, that doesn't actually mean anything. That doesn't mean jack shit, you know? Like, a lot of you, and well, I'm not going to talk about any of you guys, but I had, from what I can, well, actually, you know, never mind, I'm not even going to talk about that either because it's not even true. You know, like, all I'm saying is, you know, when I finally got it was when I hit a moment where I had to say, I don't have this. I had to stop sharing at meetings about how good things were and start sharing about how things actually were, which are good sometimes, not all the time. And that's all right. You know, I was 1-2-stepping for a long time. I knew I had a problem. I knew something could help me, but I'm going to do it anyway, my way. And that set a tone for a very long time. I mean, like, I was in a treatment center. Well, I was in 3 treatment centers, actually. But I'll get to that later. Let me just backtrack. Things got so bad for me at home that, you know, like, eventually my parents, you know, reached a point where they didn't know what else to do than to just say, you cannot do it here. I was stealing my mom's jewelry. I was selling my dad's tools. I was beating the shit up out of my brother. Me and my family were fighting. It was a complete mess. My life was in complete disarray. And it was, you know, it was just my thinking, man. I wanted to do what I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it, always. If Will wants to go outside and get drunk, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to this kid's party and steal things from his house with him there. Like, just a bunch of, like, skell shit that, like, really, to be honest with you, like, but when left to my own devices, if I want something, I would go to any length to get it. Like, things along the lines of, like, running into people's houses when people are sitting down at dinner, like, families, like, sitting down to dinner with a bunch of people, like, breaking the house and then, like, just leaving. Like, not even getting anything. Just completely just, like, on some Clockwork Orange shit. And, like, it's just, like, it's not, you know, like, I don't know, man. And that's an amends that I made that was so fucking hard. And you know what those people said to me? It doesn't matter. You were sick and we understand. Like, what? Like, who is this? What life is this? Makes no sense. And I hear stories like that about 9-step amends all the time from a bunch of you people. A lot of you guys share in the meetings. I just made my last financial amends, and on that same day, I found $10. I just did this, and as a result, this thing happened. And I'm just like, whenever, you know, I used to question my higher power a lot, and I would sit down and I would always think to myself, like, I'm in control of my own destiny. I'm in control of this, like, on like some Neo from the Matrix shit. And it's like nothing to do with that. I mean, like, there are things that happen in this world that are completely unexplainable. And even more specific, there are things that happen in this room that we're sitting at right now that are completely unexplainable. I could pick out 5 to 10 to 20 of you guys individually and say that you are a miracle, because I knew you when you first came in and you were fucking batshit. And now you have a job, you know, and like some of you guys got relationships, you know, it's just like, it's nuts. I would have never thought that any of that shit would have happened, especially for myself. It's much easier to see people grow from like me seeing you grow than it is for me to see myself grow. To be honest with you, I feel exactly the same. Am I the same? I'm told I'm not, and that's fine. I don't fucking believe you. Like, you know, and like there's that going on. But also, you know, like in terms, I don't even know where I was going with that, but back where I was going before, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that, well, no, I don't think really anything, but right now, all I know is that, you know, I'm speaking right now in a room that pretty much saved my life. I'm really grateful for this meeting. And, you know, I could say everything I want about this meeting to make myself feel better, about how, like, if all of AA was a giant university where, like, AG would be, like, an, like, advanced curricular course. I shouldn't have made that reference. I really shouldn't have said that. I apologize. Just erase that from the record. There's that, and then, like, you know, like, all that stuff, and different meetings or different classes based on different things. We got women's studies, we got man's studies. Like, I used to think that never had a legal drink was the cafeteria, okay? And, like, and that's just how I see it. But you know what? Lunch is so important, because I need to meet people. I absolutely need to meet people. I mean, you know, like, I needed to meet you guys, because you are the only people that I can get along with and that I could be myself with, you know? And, like, I used to go to college with, like, people that aren't in this program. And I spent and surrounded myself with people in the program for so long that I would, like, literally when somebody would come to me, like, when a normie comes to you about, like, a problem, it's completely different. It's like, yeah, man, I got some shit. And I'm just like, well, like, did you pray to your higher power? And he's looking at me like I'm a psychopath, you know what I'm saying? And that's fine. And that's all good. You know, but backtracking again, things progressed to a point where I did get kicked out of my house. I was living in Tompkins Square Park for a while. I thought I was so fucking cool. I had my homeless gangs of friends that we would hang out with and do a bunch of really fucked up shady shit. And I thought I was so awesome. I listened to the best music that nobody heard of. And I was so fucking cool. I was awesome. I wore clothes that people didn't wear. I was such an individual. None of that shit matters. None of it. And you know, things got horrible. And then my mom calls me and says, hey, you should come home and take a shower because you smell like shit. So I went home, I took a shower, I passed out, and in the morning I had two big black men standing over me in bed saying, you could go the easy way or you could go the hard way. And I'm just like, okay. So, you know, events occur, and I end up leaving my house in handcuffs being carried out. My last words were to my mom, look what you've done, and I spit on her. And then they carry me out, they throw me in the back of a van, I fall asleep. I wake up in upstate New York, there's snow everywhere, there was not snow in the city, and it scared the shit out of me. I was in wilderness for a very long time, I was there for like 76 days or something, through Thanksgiving, through Christmas, and then I was like, oh, it's all good, I'll be home for my birthday. My mom comes to the treatment center with my dad. This was the first time that I saw my mom and my dad together in 10 years or so. So I was like, okay, shit just got real. They were like, hey, so we're going to take you back to the city and everything's going to be fine. But, like, you know, it's late and it's like a 10-hour drive. So we're going to stay at this motel. Everything's going to be okay. Just please don't freak out. I'm just like, I'm fine. Like, I know about the wilderness and I'm going to be sober on my own. It's such crap. And, you know, I go away and I'm in this hotel room. I ate food. It was dope. Did all this stuff. And then fall asleep, get escorted again. Two big black dudes saying, hey, you go the easy way or you go the hard way. And of course, I went the hard way again. Went into another treatment facility. When I got there, I was put into a locker room. They made me get naked, searched me in all sorts of areas, did my stuff. And then essentially they're like, hey, so this is an 18-month minimum program and you're fucked. So, you know, I obviously didn't react to that amazing at all. I ended up being there for like 22 months because my mentalities and my way was the right way. I fought it to the bitter end. I fought it all the fucking way. And I made my life absolutely hell for that entire time. And it, you know, and that's just me and my attitudes. Like, I was so defiant, I, like, wouldn't eat, and then they would save my food and make me eat it for the next meal, and I would do it again and again and again. And then, like, it was just not pretty. It was fucked up. I ended up getting out. I went to an outpatient program, you know, and that was amazing. I met a lot of awesome people there. A couple months down the line, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wait a minute. How am I able to go to, like, all of this time and treatment? Like, that shit is expensive, okay? One of my first crises in sobriety was when I was told that the money that was used... Sorry. I got a shit ton of money when I was a kid to be in, like, commercials and on, like, Law and Order and all this stuff. And over years and years and years, compound interest, you know, I was supposed to get a lot of money on my 21st birthday. And my parents thought that I was, like, good enough to pretty much learn that information. I flipped the shit. Okay, I went absolutely crazy. I'm like, you spent all of that money to save my life? What the fuck? Like, you know, And then and it was all good. And on my 21st birthday, I got a check for $241. So living large, you know, and it was great. Yeah, that was fucking horrible. But one thing that I did get from all of that shit and turmoil was simple. Go to meetings. Go to AA. And that's what I did. And, you know, there are people that I was there with. I graduated with like 200 some odd people. Every single one of them is using right now. Not one, to my knowledge, is, you know, well. I mean, like, I follow them on Facebook. And that shit is just really sad, to be quite honest with you. And it's not even funny. Please don't laugh. I mean, like, it sucks, to be quite honest. I mean, like, these people that are, like, in this treatment facility, like, at least in the eyes of the treatment facility, like, doing well. Like, they're getting straight A's in their school. They got a little badge that says that, like, you know, they've been here long enough and, like, all this bullshit. And then, like, they get out. They say, I got this. I could do this myself. And then, like, you see pictures of them, like, pass out on the floor and be, like, chilling. And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, and I knew from day one that I absolutely had a problem. I didn't want to do anything about it, though. And one thing that happened was when I came in here, my first meeting was yes. And that was back when it was at the VA. I was, I think I must have been, like, a foot shorter, 40 pounds lighter. Long hair, down to my shit, scared as hell, didn't really talk much. I was scared shitless of everybody in the room. And, you know, I was terrified, and it was really fucking scary, man. I came here when I was on a visit. I had one home visit a month before I ended up leaving, and I came here, and I was like, okay, I got 1 month left back in this place, and these are going to be the people that I'm going to be jiving with, because I do not want to die, quite simply. I got here, first guy that came in, he said, hey man, dude, let me get your phone number. I'm like, fuck that. That's fine. But I ended up getting his phone number. I got a bunch of people's numbers, actually. And I came back, and I remember sitting in my room using my house phone, and I was calling people from a post-it note that I had written, and somebody gave me a big book, and I put that post-it in the back of the big book, and I had a bunch of people's numbers written, and I just started calling every single one of them because I was just so sad, and I had no idea what to do, and I knew that if I called the numbers in my old cell phone that I would be back hanging out on rooftops, getting drunk, throwing empty 40 bottles at moving traffic, getting arrested, going to jail, and getting stabbed. And that is, you know, that's like my progression in my head. And a lot of my friends are on that progression right now. One of my friends just got locked up for 10 years. Not a joke. Grew up with this kid. Tried to kill somebody. Not fucking funny. Not cool. You know, like a bunch of people like that are also my friends want to make it big in the music industry. They're like trying to be all hard and stuff, you know, gang bang and all this crap. And it's such crap because it's just such shit. You know, and I fell back on a lot of that stuff. I didn't just come into the meeting and come into AA and just instantaneously get it, straighten up my life. I'm going to go to church and like wear nice clothes and like change everything about myself. I was, you know, I kept slipping. I didn't relapse. Thank God. I was very close to it. But like I was saying before, I would make errors, you know, relapsive behavior, my brain trying to kill me. Go out, shoplift, you know, hang out with my old friends when I felt sad because that made me feel better. Getting into fights, you know, doing sketchy stuff, period, the end. Lying, like, you know, just lying so much about everything. And just let me tell you, man, being honest is so great because you don't have to remember all the shit you've told everybody. I used to go nuts in my bed being like, holy shit, I told this person that I was there, but I was actually here doing this with so-and-so, but that so-and-so thinks that I was doing this with this. And like I would sit and like formulate in my head a battle plan of like socialness. And it was such crap. And, you know, one more thing that I'll say is that, you know, resentments, you know, there's a lot of issues that people can have in the world, okay? There's a lot of issues that people can have. And let me tell you, man, resentments can kill you. I've seen it, and it's terrible. You know, resentments almost took me out on a multitude of occasions. And I got a bunch of different type of resentments. I got the type of resentment where I say, you know, like whenever somebody's talking, in my head I'm just like, just shut the fuck up. What are you doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's just crap. And then I got the resentment where I'll like start to like make up things in your mind. I'll be like, you're thinking this about me and you're doing this and you're actually doing this and and it's just not even true because I've never spoken to you before. And like, you know what I'm saying? And it's just absolute bullshit. My brain takes me to places that when not, like, when I'm not attended and when I don't take my medicine is to sit in this room and listen to whatever asshole is sitting up here, because I know what you feel and I understand and I've been there and I've done that. And for some reason, when I walk out that door, I don't want to drink and I don't want to, you know, smoke. I don't want to use. I don't want to get into fights and I don't want to do any of that stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. You know, and then time's progressing in the program. I'm starting to open up more. I'm starting to do real step work, not this, you know, fill in the blank question, homework, college style crap, as it was outlined in the big book by Bill Wilson and how my sponsor took me through it as it was written in the big book. None of this extra crap. And that's just my opinions, and if I offended anybody, I'm really sorry. That just sucks. So, you know, and like when I did it like that instead of how I wanted to do it, that's when things started to open up for me. And I cannot explain to you, because to be honest with you, I don't know what happened. All I know is that I did what my sponsor said. I did the steps, and I did them exactly how he told me to do them, the way that his sponsor took him through them. And that's just what it was, you know? And I don't know what else to tell you other than my life got better. I went from, you know, when I was using, I like had like a pair of black Converse with no laces, shorts, and like a white t-shirt. And now I have a lot of things, you know. And another thing is those things don't actually mean anything at all. The jobs doesn't mean shit. You know what I'm saying? Jobs, money, girls, all this stuff doesn't mean a goddamn thing, because the only thing that really matters is how I feel about all those things. And as for today, I absolutely feel happy for one reason or another. And that is a fucking miracle, because I cannot tell you how many years have gone by, 21, where I've been absolutely miserable, you know? And I don't know what it is, man, but all I know is if you are sitting here and if you don't know what I'm talking about at all, that's fine, because you'll soon get it if you keep coming around. And if you do know exactly what I'm talking about, I'm always available. I pick up my phone at 4:30 in the morning when random people call me. I did it the other night, and that's fine, you know? And, like, that's what I have to do, so I don't drink. And so, you know, and that sounds selfish, and this was a process that was brought up to me in the past. How come, you know, like, you help people because it makes you not want to drink? And, like, it's a mental shift. You know, I help people because when more people are sober, more people can be helped. And it is a web. It is a chain reaction. If Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob didn't go around the hospitals around the United States helping one alcoholic, helping one alcoholic, helping one alcoholic, then we could not have what we have today right now, which is a program that has saved millions of people's lives. And that is a fact. You could read it in the beginning. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's in the beginning of the big book preface, something like that. All of those good old numbers are there. So if you're sitting there being like, well, actually, there's that. Well, like, just go check. And that is what it is, man. I'm eternally grateful for this meeting and for this program, because of all of you guys, I'm alive and I'm not 6 feet under. Thank you so much.